This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Tuesday, the 26th of April. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. As we always do at the start of the day, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
U.S. seems to be doing quite well in a way. Dow was up 0.7%, S&P 500 up 0.6%, Nasdaq up 1.3%. Asian markets, on the contrary, all red. Nikkei down 1.9%, Hang Seng down 3.7%, Shanghai Composite down 5.1%, and STI down 0.6%, FBM KLCI down 0.8%.
So we can really see the drop in Chinese stocks there.
That's
Hang Seng
right.
And Shanghai really seeing implications from the growing lockdowns in China. But for some analysis on what's moving global markets, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, we have to start by talking about Elon Musk's leveraged buyout of Twitter for $44 billion U.S. dollars. We know you can't talk specifically about stocks, but tell me your reactions. Were you surprised by this deal looking like it actually might reach the finish line?
I'm not surprised. You know, Elon is just, you know, he is who he is. He's a disruptor. And it's amazing what he's done in space and what he's going to do in social media and in automobiles. So not surprised. I'm not sure where this goes next, but it's very interesting. It's nice. Some animal spirits are out there. So M&A activity was down so far this year, but Elon has definitely lit a fire underneath M&A for sure.
Okay, Joe, I want to pick up on exactly that point you highlighted, which is M&As. Do you expect more to come in the technology space then?
It's gotten off to a slow start, particularly since February 24th with the war in Ukraine. And the Fed's raising interest rates, cost of capital is going up. But no, I think the tech sector in general, whether it's Snap and some of the other, just list off the small cap names, they're being looked over by these large cap names. So I would expect more M&A activity as the year progresses.
And let's continue to talk on tech. So software as a service giants like Microsoft and Amazon will be releasing the Q1 results this week. Are their earnings expected to act as a bellwether for the entire industry? And as a whole, what is the market outlook for this sector?
Well, it's a bellwether for the sector and for the broader industry. So we'll see how these companies perform. I think first quarter earnings, probably the best of the lot. So think of it this way. First quarter earnings are probably going to be the best for 2022. So I think these companies will beat on expectations. But I tell you, the guidance is just, getting lousier as we speak. And there's the sentiment has turned really downward here in the U.S. We're watching with China. We're watching the war, energy prices. So I have to say, but having said that, if you don't own technology and you see technology, these names swoon and go down, buy them. Get the exposure now, not later.
All right. So buy the dips, you say. Let's take a look at U.S. airlines.
Yes.
They're expected to report stronger first quarter earnings. On the whole, how bullish are you on the outlook for global air travel? And when do you estimate passenger numbers in general to return to pre-pandemic levels?
Well, it's a tale of two stories there because, the leisure part of air travel is back with a vengeance. And believe me, I went to Florida recently and the lines, the people, the plane was packed. But business travel isn't come all the way back. And that's where the margins are. That's where the profits are. That's a story for 23, 24, particularly Asia, right? Most of Asia is still closed off to the U.S. So Europe, U.S. travel is picking up. We need China to open up, get down to Southeast Asia. So I think it's a story for 23, 24, the business travel. We like the airlines, but they've already had a nice bounce, but I think there's more upside.
Okay, you mentioned China, Joe, so let's pick up on that. And yesterday, of course, the China stock market, as measured by the CSI 300, plunged near 5%, the lowest in 2 years. Well, are you a bear or bull on the Chinese market?
I mean, long term, here again, if you don't have exposure to the big names in China, look at them now because they're very cheap. But China, let's face it, they're struggling with the pandemic. And so I think here's the key. They will be proactive. They're going to cut interest rates. They're going to be more lending. Will that help to a degree? So, China is investable. But you got to pick your spots very carefully and know what you're buying. And I know, that's a different animal altogether. But we like China for the long term because it's just a very important player, tech, and really across multiple sectors.
I hear you. I mean, they have one of the world's largest populations, second largest economy in the world. But what sectors will you pick? You still like technology, but what else? Is it too early to look at, let's say, property?
Yeah, I would avoid the property sectors. I would look more technology, medical services, you know, really, you know, broaden it out. I mean, some of the industrials. So, I mean, you know, in China's, you know, they're in this, I think they're going to be very proactive and kind of really prime the pump here. That that market is lagging big time here early in 22. But I think when we talk about November, December, I think they come back in broadly speaking. So just buy the major indices, and I think you'll do fine.
Continuing on our discussion on China, Bloomberg reported that foreign investors sold $7 billion worth of Chinese stocks in March, and global funds have reduced their holdings of Chinese bonds as well. Are markets going completely risk off on China, and what can be done to reverse it?
Well, one of the biggest reasons why you're seeing the outflows from China, particularly in the bonds, is that, you know, the U.S. yields, the 10-year yields here in the United States, were even surpassed the Chinese bond yield. So U.S. is being very aggressive, raising rates, and China's cutting rates. So that means more money is going to come out of China into the United States as opposed to the opposite. So right now, I think, you know, U.S. is raising rates. We've got to cool off inflation. China's cutting. But to me, that's more like 12 months out. So take opportunistically, pick your spots in China right now, because I do think long term, second largest economy in the world, very tech savvy. There's some opportunities there.
And if we take a look over to Europe, Joe, the ECB is planning to phase out its bond buying program in July, which they expect will pave the way for rate hikes. But with inflation in the EU already running at 7.5%, can they wait that long?
That's a good question. I mean, no one wants to be Christine Lagarde, the ECB president. She's got the toughest job in the world right now, one of the toughest, because growth is slowing dramatically. Inflation's very high. It's been driven by energy prices. I, you know, to me, Europe looks, there's a lot of attractive valuations in Europe right now, but don't jump too soon. So I don't think the ECB, I think they're talking tough, but their actions won't be as tough. And so I think they're more dovish than, say, the Fed being hawkish.
Joe, thanks as always for speaking with us. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days, weeks, months ahead.
It's interesting about what he view about the tech stock. And you're saying that, well, yes, it is a bellwether for the sector and also for the indices. So it's something that we definitely need to have, you know, and maybe we should be catching them right now.
Buy the dips, he said.
Interestingly, it's not just U.S. technology that he's advocating. He's also advocating Chinese technology. But staying on the topic of technology, it's official. Twitter's board has agreed to let Elon Musk buy the social media network for $44 billion U.S. And as Joe reminds us, he's a bit of a maverick, isn't it?
That is indeed. He's actually going to be using one of the biggest leveraged buyout deals in history to take the social networking platform private. So leveraged buyout deals refer to, I think
just
you can explain
boring,
this a bit.
Boring to buy something else. Not whipping out real cash, but using other people's money to buy something. But of course, the fact that people are willing to lend him $44 billion is testament to, of course, his status as the richest man in the world. And of course, he's also the owner of, Tesla and also SpaceX. So mm-hmm. A lot of credibility there, and that maybe he can transform Twitter. But the point is he's going to keep it private for the moment. So what's he going to do behind the scenes? That's going to be interesting.
There are a lot of unanswered questions. Who's going to take over the company? Who's actually going to run it? And then how is he going to come up with the money to pay his portion of the deal? He said he's putting $21 billion U.S. dollars in equity in this.
That's right. And he has $25.5 billion of debt and margin loan financing. And as we know, it's marvelous that he can get all these banks to back him. But what is the repayment source here? Because Twitter is not really a very cash flow generating business. What is he going to do with it?
Sell his Tesla stock as it goes along if it fails. But what's interesting is that there is going to be a provision that the billionaire is required to pay the company a fee if he were to walk away or if the deal falls apart. And I learned this new term. It does a go shop provision. It also, this is a new term, excuse me, by the way. It also means that Twitter isn't allowed to solicit offers from other potential bidders. Uh-huh. So two terms, two interesting terms are attached to this deal.
All right. You know, we'll be following this as the situation develops. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.